Let's begin with our first presentation. Gary Urquhart is our first presenter. Mr. Urquhart is the Chief of the Immunization Information System Support Branch of the National Center for Immunization and Respiratory Diseases at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. This branch supports state and local health departments and healthcare organizations in their development of immunization information systems. His professional experience includes international work with the World Health Organization on smallpox eradication and immunization activities in developing countries and domestically as the Deputy Commissioner of Health for the Onondaga County Health Department in Syracuse, New York.
Okay, thanks, Joellen. Thanks for this introduction and the opportunity to speak with everyone this afternoon. As Joanne mentioned, I'm going to speak with you about the federal perspective today of interoperability of immunization information systems, or IISs, and electronic health record systems, or EHRs. My discussion points for today include a brief overview of interoperability dependencies, the status on selected IIS performance as of December 2010, a brief overview of some CDC initiatives to improve interoperability, and finally, some national HIT initiatives that address interoperability. So there are some interoperability dependencies, and you know, maybe this is a bit obvious, but I'll just use this as a reminder that achieving interoperability between EHRs and IIS depends on several things. First, it assumes that both EHRs and IIS have participants or patients who are willing and legally able to exchange data. Next, it assumes that immunization data must include core data elements that each party will receive and send. And finally, both EHRs and IIS need to be able to send and receive immunization data using national messaging standards and recognize data transport methods. Sounds pretty easy and simple, but achieving interoperability is complex and has numerous challenges for both EHRs and IISs. And I think Amy and perhaps Ken will talk a little bit more about that at a local level later on. So I'd like to start by giving you a brief overview of IIS performance as of 2010. And some of these components are aspects that impact interoperability, and so this is just a brief overview of the percentage of children aged less than 6 years participating in a grantee IIS in the United States in six cities for 2010. The average participation rate for the United States for six-year-olds is 81%. That doesn't include the territories, but this is an improvement of about 4 or 5% more than the previous year we surveyed, which was 2009. A total of 38 immunization program grantees have IIS participation rates of over 80% for children less than 6 years of age with two or more immunizations. You can see that on the map as the dark blue grantees. The next slide is a bar chart of IIS functional standards. And this shows the program achievement as of 2010 for the 12 functional standards that all IISs are supposed to implement. On the whole, this demonstrates very good progress with eight of the IIS functional standards, but functional standards number 1, 2, and 7 still need improvement. And you notice that they're well below 80%, well below the 100% that other functional standards have achieved. And each one of these, whether we're talking about core data elements or HL7 functionality, have a direct impact on some of the way that interoperability is implemented. This slide number 6 is just a closer look at the achievement of HL7 messaging standards. And performance on this standard represents a real improvement over the previous year we surveyed in 2009. And this for 2010 represents almost 80% of their grantees now are able to send and receive HL7 messaging standards. That's an improvement of 17% over the 2009 report. Next, I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the CDC initiatives to improve interoperability, and we're going to start with some of the funding opportunities that we've put out the door for our immunization program grantees over the last couple of years. And this is as of December 2011. In 2010, we put out a funding opportunity with a funding source from the high-tech ERA 317 funding, and we had 20 grantees for that. About a year later, in 2011, we put out some funding for interoperability, enhancement of interoperability activities, same kind of activity as the high-tech activities. This time it was for 14 grantees, and those are listed in the sort of maroon or red colors on this map. This will impact a number of things in terms of interoperability activities. And by the end of these two funding opportunities or funding programs, we expect to have almost full compliance with HL7 by all of our immunization program grantees, except for two or three grantees. These expected interoperability outcomes from the high-tech grantees, because they're the ones that have implemented the longest, so that's the update that I'm going to provide to you. Almost 29,000 practice sites with an EHR have been identified by the 20 ERA high-tech grantees. These sites serve almost 6 million children less than 6 years of age. That's almost about 25% of all the U.S. population of under 6-year-olds. Of that 29,000 practice sites, about 3,000 practice sites have been tentatively identified by the grantees for interoperability enhancements to enable real-time exchange of immunization data. This will have a direct impact on about 2.5 million children less than 6 years of age. I should point out that all of these interventions are not sort of one time only. They have a lasting effect on the continuous stream of data. And so this can only expand over time and will continue until some changes are made to HL7 or other things that may impact interoperability. HL7 best practices will also be developed to sustain activities and practices in IS as a result of all these activities. And we expect that once the 14 PPHF grantees have implemented similar activities, we expect probably a doubling of the numbers that I've just mentioned in terms of impact. To kind of determine the status of how our IASs were being used by VFC and whether or not our VFC provider sites were intending to participate in meaningful use, we conducted an electronic survey in October of 2011. And this survey was sort of designed as a convenience sample from 35 program grantees in October 2011 and concluded that from about 4,200 VFC sites, they reported that 81% of the responding VFC practice sites stated that they submitted immunization to their state or local immunization information systems. So a fairly high rate of use by VFC provider sites. 57% of respondents used some form of EHR system, with practice use ranging from a little less than 1% to 54%. And finally, about 40% of respondents reported that one or more of their providers in their practice had registered for the CMS Meaningful Use Incentive Program. And then finally, 66% of respondents reported that their practice would submit immunization data to their state and local IS to fulfill the public health objective for meaningful use. These VFC sites are reported to provide immunizations to about 70 to 80% of all U.S. children, whether they're VFC children or private patients and so on. So these are fairly significant data when it comes to meaningful use and EHR use and interoperability. These are the VFC sites that participated in this survey, and it also shows the rate of VFC sites within each grantee that did participate. I should mention that Hawaii, the state of Hawaii, had the best rate of participation. Almost 54% of their VFC provider sites participated in this survey. I'll have a little bit more to say about this in a little later. These EHRIS interoperability activities will result in some outcomes that result in enhancements, assist practices in receiving meaningful use incentives, enhancing EHRIS interoperability that will improve the quality of data and address challenges that are associated with accuracy, timeliness, and completeness. So now I'd like to turn briefly to some of the national HIT initiatives that that really impact interoperability. As you may recall, in 2004, President Bush, during a State of the Union message, called for the majority of Americans to have interoperable electronic health records within 10 years, so that's by 2014. This announcement also triggered the establishment of a position for the National Coordinator for HIT and the development of some strategic plans and goals. Several years later, in 2007, a survey was conducted and published in the New England Journal of Medicine in 2008 and concluded that from about 1,800 physicians surveyed, only a little less than 20% of physicians responding to the survey had a fully functional or basic EHR at the time. So after 3 or 4 years, things were really just getting started. And you can see on the slide that there were some barriers and facilitators of adoption of EHRs listed there. I'm not going to get into that right now. The President Obama's administration introduced the HITECH Act to support the adoption and use of electronic health records, or EHRs. And the purpose of HITECH is to achieve significant improvements in care through meaningful use of EHRs by healthcare providers. And this act also established incentive payments to eligible professionals and hospitals to promote the adoption and meaningful use of interoperable HIT and qualified electronic health records. A couple of years later, in 2011, the National Center for Health Statistics at CDC published a mail survey that was entitled Electronic Health Record Systems and Intent to Apply for Meaningful Use Incentives Among Office-Based Physician Practices in the United States during the period 2001 to 2011. This was published in November 2011. And this, as I said, is a mail survey, and it concluded that from about 10,000 physicians surveyed, 57% use some form of EHR system, with use by state ranging from 40 to 84%. And about 34% were reported the use of a basic EHR that met meaningful use criteria for a certified EHR product. And finally, about 52% of physicians reported that they intended to apply for meaningful use incentives. All of these national HIT initiatives have outcomes that are, really help facilitate EHRIS interoperability by promoting the development and use of certified EHR systems and, that use national standards for interoperability with IS and other healthcare systems, by also incentivizing clinical practice interoperability to improve overall patient care, and by promoting consumer e-health that empowers patients to use and understand their own healthcare. The implementation of CDC and national HIT initiatives have greatly improved collaboration among federal and state local communities. We've had tremendous improvements in our collaboration with CMS and Medicaid in particular. And despite numerous challenges, these efforts will eventually result in enhanced interoperability that improves support for both immunization programs and national health IT initiatives in the United States. So that concludes my presentation for today, and I'll look forward to some questions a little later in the program.